I will not leave you orphaned. I will not forsake you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. How many of you have used Google Translate? A few? Great. I was talking to a colleague here in Richmond at the Ukrainian Catholic Church. And since he is of Chinese background and raised in Winnipeg, I asked him, does he preach in Ukrainian? And he said, yes, I use Google Translate. It's not good. And some of you know that I was just in Japan, where I had the most amazing time, and we really depended on Google Translate. Waiters would come up to us with Google Translate, speak into their phones, and it would show us what they'd said. It was a great tool. But one of the interesting things that we found was that, as we know, if we do very much work with Scripture, translation is never exact, because there are so many things that do not translate directly, or the implications are a little bit different. So, for example, we would take pictures of the plaques on things, and we would run it through Google Translate several times and get several different answers. For example, we found a beautiful, fairly modern statue, very tall pillar, a beautiful statue of a mother and child. And it said, the pillar of a time forgotten. So we ran it through again. It said, the pillar of forgotten time. Not quite the same. Ran it through again and it said, the pillar of the forgotten bath. We have no idea why. And if you ever use it in a restaurant, as we did often, especially if you're an Italian restaurant, you will find that you are eating cigarettes and pantaloons, because that's what the pasta is actually called, right? So translating ancient Greek, as you are in the New Testament, across two millennia is never exact. But the possibilities are rich, then, when we don't expect to be exact. The Gospel of John tells us that just before he was arrested, Jesus told his friends that though he was going, he would not leave them forsaken. And over about four chapters, he describes how he has taught them to love. And that if they love, they will follow what he taught, and they will not be alone. The Father will send them and us, Parakletos, or the Paraclete. It's not a word we hear all the time, right? But it was a very common word at that time, and it had nuances of meaning. One of the most common meanings was the Advocate, which has similar meanings today, but also the comforter, the counselor, the friend, the companion, the one which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, or the Spirit of truth. All of these are correct. All of these are implicated over those four chapters, and all of them offer us understanding. But the most common translation is advocate. And so I'd like to talk about what that actually means. This because I was one for a while. I was an intern at First United Church on the downtown east side, and part of my mission work was as an advocate. And I worked with other more experienced advocates. There were three or four of us, and it was an absolutely practical role. I did also have a role in preaching, in spirituality, all of those things. But the advocate was a practical role. They helped people find the resources to get through their current situation. So I'd like to give you a couple of examples. I'm only going to give you a couple. A man had tripped on a curb and broken his elbow. He was not able anymore to work as a framer and contractor. He lost his business, which had employed several people. He had surgery, but the elbow had healed frozen, and it had been 10 months, and by then he was on welfare. He needed a second surgery and to rent a special machine that would keep his elbow moving all the time while it healed, so it would not heal frozen. BC Medical would pay for the machine for 2 weeks. He needed it for 8. Now, it wasn't the job of First United to pay for it. It was our role to support him to wade through the labyrinth of services and programs, to be the calm voice on the phone with welfare or medical or whoever, to be his companion in the midst of what was genuine despair, to appeal to the best in people in the bureaucracy so he didn't give up, to be an advocate for him, with him, alongside him. So I called everyone. And I finally called the rental agency that rented the machine and asked for advice. It's amazing what you can get from people like that. The manager listened to the story and then he explained. He said, "It's my job to deliver the machine, show someone how to use it, and then I pick it up again when the rental is over. Sometimes I don't pick it up right away." He paused and he said, "Would it be all right if I didn't pick it up for, say, another month and a bit?" An answer, walking alongside, gathering people who will walk alongside. Another example is not mine. I had a friend and colleague, Vivian. We lost Vivian to COVID in the early days, but Vivian had worked hard to become an Anglican priest. I would say that though she was a student with me, she was also a teacher to me. And she acted as an advocate and comforter to families trying to be good parents after the trauma of residential school. Vivian was Cree. Her presence was spirit-filled, highly practical, rooted in Indigenous practice, and she pulled no punches when she talked. A comforter in despair, an advocate for the help that was needed, a guide to a just way, sometimes a chastiser of us when we did not seem to understand. She advocated within the church for understanding of the needs of survivors of residential schools, advocated in Indigenous communities as well, to let people understand where Christianity could go alongside of Indigenous practice. So the meaning of the word parakletos, or the advocate, has carried the same kind of meaning for more than 2,000 years. Throughout the Middle East, in Israel, in Greece, Egypt, Syria, they shared this understanding of an advocate as someone who speaks for you, as someone who offers wisdom or guidance. It was used in law courts, but also in business, in family situations. It's used in a religious sense also. These use human examples because John's gospel is trying to communicate that this Paracletus, the advocate, is a powerful, practical guide in time of trouble, a comforter in pain, a counselor when what is correct is not what is just. The use of the term advocate as an active participant in the response to a situation. The Parakletos is one who continually advocates for you or for the one in desperate need. Sometimes the Parakletos advocates to you for you. Sometimes the Spirit of Truth advocates to you for another human being, for a terrified mother, for an orphan child, a man imprisoned, or even the enemy. The Spirit of Wisdom is said to come to you in breath, the inhalation that gives you pause in panic, the literal inspiration that allows for a creative response. There are such things happening in the world that beggar belief. Such things are being done where if you aren't already angry, read the story again. There are things happening that foster fear deliberately. And if you see no reason for fear, you haven't understood the stakes. But fear to the point of panic and anger to the point of rage and hatred can roar so loudly we cannot hear the still, small voice of God. We rush to judgment, or we put our fingers in our ears, la 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 la, so we can ignore the advance of evil. By contrast, the voice of the Spirit, the Advocate, can be heard through other means and in other places. Abraham and Sarah heard the voice in their awe under the multitude of stars in the sky. The prophet Elijah found the voice in the silence after the storm when he was driven into the wilderness. Jesus urges the disciples to foster love between them in the community they make, for the Advocate will come to them there. Jesus told his friends this, and I'm going to use Eugene Peterson's Message translation. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. This is the best way to love. There was an activist, a biblical scholar, and a writer named Walter Wink, and he wrote a lot about the nature of power. He spoke about the way the world understands power as a duality of either weakness or violence. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit always lead us in the third way. When we are led to believe there are no options, the Spirit shows us another way. A surprise, perhaps, a creative response. The power lies in knowing that there is another way. In spite of rage and fear, in spite of our feelings of powerlessness or inadequacy, we have a role. We are part of the situation. Maybe we can be led to open a door. Maybe that's us. Our world is so complicated. Our own feelings are a tangle of responses, and we feel guilty too often for taking time to pause, to pray, to think. A very wise person said to me once, when you think you have no time to pray, you don't have time not to. The idea that there is wisdom that invites you into conversation seems too simple, fantastical, or silly. But surely in a world governed by what has been called cacocracy or kleptocracy, it's worth a try to give the third way a chance, to put yourself in the way of wisdom by giving yourselves opportunities for awe under the stars or wherever, by taking time to breathe and ask for wisdom, by fostering loving community, by considering that there is a source of wisdom that is beyond yourself, and that this may keep you from failing and falling into rage or panic. Jesus, in this long goodbye, tells the disciples about when the Spirit comes, the Advocate or the Companion. And Eugene Peterson translates it this way, I still have so many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. 20 years ago, when the United Church wanted to make a statement of faith for a new century, we created what we called the Song of Faith. And we wanted to include a way of talking about how we understand the power of the Holy Spirit as an active part of the healing of the world. the inspiration for us in the midst of the struggles, both physical and spiritual. These passages from John were part of the background to that statement. Here it is, the words to remind us. The fullness of life includes moments of unexpected inspiration, courage lived out, experiences of beauty, truth, and goodness, blessings of seeds and harvest, friendship and family, intellect and sexuality, the reconciliation of people through justice, communities living in righteousness, the articulation of meaning. And so we sing of God the Spirit, who from the beginning has swept over the face of creation, animating all energy and matter, and moving in the human heart. We sing of God the Spirit, faithful and untamable, who is creatively and redemptively active in the world. The Spirit challenges us to celebrate the holy not only in what is familiar, but also in that which seems foreign. We sing of the Spirit who speaks our prayers of deepest longing, enfolds our concerns and confessions, transforms us and the world. May it be so. Hold those words in your heart. May they advocate for you. Amen.